Tamara Lenz Minty is assistant curator at the Taft Museum of Art in downtown Cincinnati, and she's written an uplifting, inspirational book based on something she found during her research for a Taft Museum exhibition. Tammy, this book is a wonderful read. Thanks for coming in tonight.
Yeah, thank you, Lee.
The idea for The Boy at the Museum came up while you were researching an exhibition at the Taft Museum. Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, back in 2007, the Taft had an exhibition on the sculptor Hiram Powers. Powers actually started his career working at a place called the Western Museum in Cincinnati. He sculpted very lifelike, shocking wax figures for that museum. So I was going through 1830s newspapers looking for information about Powers or about the Western Museum. And that's when I came across this advertisement for a boy who was on display at the museum. He was an 8-year-old boy who had been born without legs.
Where was the Western Museum?
It was downtown on Columbia and Pearl Streets. It was near the public landing. So those streets aren't there anymore.
Right. And it was interesting because the book is based in 1834.
Right.
And the Western Museum, of course, is the focal point of much of the action. Mm-hmm. And it was located near the riverfront because of the crowds that they could gather to come in and see all of the various exhibits in the museum.
Yes, exactly.
So on page 19, there's a quote which seems to surface once in a while in the book. Oftentimes, it is an innocent child who pays for the sins of the parents. This relates directly to the young boy and his mother. Tell us about what's going on.
Right. Well, I think the part that you're talking about is when a group of women arrive at the museum and they're sort of muttering amongst themselves about how, oh, certainly the mother must have done something to cause this, or she must have seen or experienced something traumatic during her pregnancy to cause this. So, you know, there was really a misunderstanding about what caused those, you know, kinds of conditions.
And tell us about the main character.
Right. Well, Enos Stutzman, in the book, he's 8 years old, and he actually was a real person who grew up to have a very successful life. For me, that was interesting because I wondered, wow, I mean, in the 1830s, to be able to succeed and thrive when you're born with that kind of condition, certainly the opportunities could not have been great back then. So I wondered, what kind of child would he have been? So I imagined him as a very precocious, intelligent, curious child who's just fascinated by this museum, that he's staying in the museum for 2 weeks, and so he often goes exploring and he'll disappear for periods of time, and it's because he's just fascinated by all of these natural wonders and odd scientific curiosities that are on display there.
And you also mentioned you must have done research on other human oddities.
I did. I did a lot of looking at, well, first of all, newspapers, because, you know, the advertisements are very revealing about the kinds of things, you know, that were displayed, the kinds of people who were displayed. I read about traveling sideshows that, you know, before P.T. Barnum and his big sideshows, there were people who would travel around in wagons and open them up in cities, and things like menageries and, you know, and I read books about early museums, which were often, well, they were called dime museums, which meant for a dime, you could get admission and see all kinds of crazy things. There were other museums like the Western Museum in Cincinnati as well, one called Letton's Museum, which was a competing museum, which does play a little side role in the book as well.
And what kind of displays were in the Western Museum?
Well, initially, the Western Museum began as a true natural history collection, but the founder, Dr. Drake, he's also in the book, he couldn't really make a financial go at it. And so the museum was then taken over by the curator, Joseph Dorfoy. And he believed that in order to make it a financial success, he needed to have very sensational, shocking things that would draw crowds to the museum. So they had things on display like, I mean, there were natural curiosities as well, but also, the most famous display at the time was called the Infernal Regions, and this is something that Hiram Powers, this sculptor, worked on, and it was a recreation of Dante's Inferno. So it was kind of like a horror show. The wax figures were incredibly lifelike, as they're described in the literature, and they moved, and they were mechanized, and people apparently from all over knew about the infernal regions in Cincinnati. So in addition to things like that, Dorfoy put, this is very gruesome, but a murderer's head and hand on display. And some of the things that were on display were not real. He would pass them off as real. In the book, there's a cannibal that is referred to, and Powers is very upset because Dorfoy is passing it off as the actual body of a cannibal, the tattooed body. And in reality, it's this wax figure that he's asked Powers to turn into a cannibal, but Powers doesn't realize he's going to try to pass it off as a real body.
There's one scene where they open a crate and there's this huge anaconda snake.
Yes, yeah. Well, there, you know, was a fascination with animals that were exotic and not from the area. So this giant anaconda, and I actually read a story about a statue at the Western Museum that was mysteriously moving and things like that, and they found there had been a snake that had gone missing, and the snake had crawled into the statue and was kind of holed up in there. And then, of course, there's at Letton's Museum, I came across an advertisement for a living sea dog on display, and what it was really like a sea lion, so he makes an appearance in the book as well.
And Dorfoy goes to Lawrenceburg during a winter storm to get a mineral exhibit. Was that real?
Well, not entirely. I invented that scenario, but certainly he had things like that, you know, collections of gems, large fossils. And Dorfoy actually put together presumably more than one, but there is one of his scrapbooks in the collection of the Cincinnati History Library and Archives. And I, you know, was able to look at that and get an insight into the things he was interested in. And, you know, in some cases it's very sort of macabre kinds of things, like deformed children, engravings of those kinds of things, but then also pictures of planets and science kinds of things. So that was very revealing.
You also talk about Nicholas Longworth.
Right.
And how he becomes a benefactor.
Right. Well, of course, I work at the Taft Museum of Art, and Longworth lived there. And he is described as a very generous man. He sometimes would give out bread to people on the sidewalk. He supported a lot of artists, including Hiram Powers. And so I wanted to weave him into the story because I feel very close to Longworth, you know, working in what was his home. So I found that might be the most interesting way, is to make him take an interest in this boy who is obviously very intelligent and could have a really wonderful future.
I think in one scene you say that Longworth could look out his window and see the vineyard.
Yeah, Longworth actually owned the property stretching all the way up to Eden Park, and he had vineyards along the Ohio River. He was a horticulturalist, and he developed different varieties of strawberries and also grapes, and he was the first person, actually he's really considered the father of American winemaking. He was the first person to make a viable wine, although people say it didn't taste very good, but
The Boy at the Museum is a beautifully written book from the perspective of a young boy in a big city and a mother and her love for her child and the trials they all face. Tammy, thanks for this book.
Thank you so much, Lee.
Tamara Lynn Minty is the author of The Boy at the Museum, which is her first novel. You'll find a link at WVXU.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Lee Hay.